And good morning, church family. Good morning. I will say to you, Happy New Year. And you say? Now, I'll tell you the truth. Given 2020, I was tempted to come up and just say New Year. And let you decide on the happy part. I've come to the conclusion, and the Bible certainly supports, that it isn't our circumstances, but rather our attitudes that make each day what it is. And so I will say to you, and hopefully you've said to each other already, Happy New Year. And I'll even say about 2020, it was a happy year for those who found happiness in the midst of it. How ironic that we picked, as you see our big banners up here, how ironic that we picked the word connect for 2020. We did that way back at the end of 2019. We didn't know what the year 2020 held. And so as this year was progressing, we had discussion about what are we going to do for 2021? Well, if you look at our signs, you will see they've been patched. Just like our lives, the 2020 is gone and the 2021 is there. And if you look at our floor stands, you'll see that we've got one more piece to those signs yet to go up. And it's for the idea, if 2020 was a year for connect, let us pray that we continue in our efforts, that 2021 will be the year of reconnect. Now, we didn't put the re part up yet because you, even me before I got up here, we're still wearing masks. And I don't know at what time in the year. Maybe we'll do it next week. I don't know yet. Maybe we'll wait until the masks go away and we'll move those reparts that are now low up to where they really ought to be. And reconnecting has nothing to do with, ultimately, whether we wear masks or not, but whether we love each other. Now, I'll tell you the truth. I miss your smiles. In fact, there's some new masks that are being done. I want to get one where the artist, if you send a picture, will reproduce your smile on the mask itself. I kind of like that idea. But then if you get in a grumpy mood, you'll have to change out your mask or turn it upside down or do something. I'm not sure what. I miss getting to see all of you, but I'm sure glad we get to see each other. And my prayer is for 2021 that the necessity for this kind of health protection will end. And as we think about this reconnecting and the ending of this pandemic, I want you to pray with me. What a way to begin our year together. Father, we love you no matter what happens in this world, no matter how hard things may seem to be. You still bless us. Your sun still rises, though the clouds may cover it. Your warmth comes to us, even though it may get cold in days ahead. That's what they're saying. Father, you love us, whether there's snow on the ground or not, whether we can see the sun or not. Your love is what sustains us in our lives. But Father, we do pray. Oh, we pray. We pray that there can be an end to this pandemic, that there can be an end to the loss of life because of it and all the other physical illnesses in the world, that we can see all of each other again and to be encouraged as you encourage us day by day. Help us to be happy, even though things are not perfect, because you promised us that a perfect day is coming, and that promise makes me happy today. For your love, for your grace, and for the truth of your promise, we give you thanks today together on this first Sunday of 2021, as we tell you of our love for you, and we tell you this in the name of Jesus, as we all say together, Amen. I couldn't see your lips, but I heard you, and I'm glad for that. It is indeed a happy new year. So some new things are going to happen, even in the midst of still wearing masks. 2 weeks from today, we're going to expand our Bible class program back. We want to do it safely. We're still going to require masks, as we're doing right now. But 2 weeks from today, we're going to have a two-week time on Sunday mornings for any adults who want to participate, while the youth and the families of the youth continue to do the good things that they're doing over in the Family Life Center. This new class will be starting over in the fellowship hall. It'll be both Zoom, so you can watch it live or come in person. The first 2 weeks are going to be on the idea of reconnecting, how appropriate that is. Then we're going to take a break for a day. The last Sunday of this month, we've got the Wheeler family that's going to come and share with us. Both of them together are going to share with us, both in the Bible class time and Trent speaking here to our assembly, on the idea about lasting love. That's a great topic for us to use as we begin ourselves here in this year. Then in February, we'll pick up in that class with an extended study from the Bible on grace. I hope that you'll be a part of those things and not neglect the good things that are going on already with our youth and participating with us. But we are ready to begin to do some additional things safely as we anticipate our lives becoming more of what we have been accustomed to. But I want to tell you this. Even if what we are doing right now is what they are calling the new normal, we will rejoice because our God loves us. Ooh, I didn't even have to prompt you. We will continue to be happy in our lives no matter how many mutations there might be in this world of all different kinds of things, because our God loves us. I paused on purpose and you picked it up. Last week, we did something I've never done in my whole life, and that was to do part two of a lesson before I did part one. Last Sunday, the last Sunday of the month, we looked at the ending, the last of the life of Jesus on earth. We did that by looking in Luke chapter 24, and I invite you, if you haven't had a chance to hear that lesson, it's available on our website that you can go back and to hear it. So, having done part two first, today, if you look in your bulletin, you will see that once again we're looking at the life, but today we're looking at part one. And if part two came at the end of Luke, you should not be surprised to find out that part two, the beginning, brings us back to the first part of the gospel according to Luke. So today is the life, part one, after having last week looked at the life, part two. What do we find in Luke chapters 1 and 2? Well, we find people who are rejoicing because God is working in the world. The same way that the disciples rejoiced last week because their Savior had come back to life. We rejoice today, and this may be the only time, you may want to mark it in your books, maybe the only time that you hear a Christmas message in January. But after all, 2020 was a strange year, and I felt like it deserved a good, fresh beginning for 2021. The congregation said, amen. Don't we need a good new start? And it starts with our attitudes. Simeon the priest had been doing his service for God in the temple, and he had had a revelation from God that he would not end his service to God in that temple until something special had happened. And on a day when Mary and Joseph brought in their little baby, as was appropriate by the law of Moses, Simeon was there to experience that moment. And here's what Simeon said: Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. I appreciate Simeon because even though he was Jewish and the promises had been made to his ancestors, Sarah and Abraham, and then through them down to Isaac and eventually to Jacob, that Simeon was not limited by a local focus. Do you notice what he says here? That God has done these things in the presence of all peoples, plural, and a light for revelation to the Gentiles indeed, and for glory to your people, Israel. We're starting a new year. And it is so easy when we are at our homes being safe and careful about this pandemic to forget that there is a whole world that needs what we have. And I'm not talking about what's in your pantry. I'm talking about what is in your heart and what is in your soul and what is in your spirit. And whatever way you can find to share that, that Simeon's prayer might be your prayer, that, Lord, I can now depart in peace. We don't know when that's coming, and my prayer is, of course, that that isn't in your life for this year, but it may be. It was this time a year ago when things were seeming pretty normal, and we went through January, even February, and then suddenly things turned upside down, it seemed. We don't know what the year holds, but I can tell you who holds us. And the congregation says, amen. I want you to hang on to that idea. I want you to cling to the reality that God has great things planned if we will watch and be ready. Simeon was ready, and he was prepared when that baby arrived, and he recognized, even in infancy, what this son of man and son of God represented, not just to his people, but to all peoples. Amen for Simeon. Then Simeon turns and he tells Mary. She's already had the experience with the angel. She already knows that what is happening within her is special and unique. If anybody knew that it was a virgin birth, Mary knew that it was a virgin birth. And Simeon said to her, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. I don't know about you, but at the birth of a baby, I like to hear about good things ahead. And yet Simeon tells Mary, he's going to lift up many, but he's going to be opposed, and he may be for the falling of many. The world needs to know that. The world needs to know that there is a way up, but there's also the possibility of going down. And about Mary himself, Simeon says, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also. When do you think that happened symbolically? When do you think it was that a mother might look upon her son and feel as if she was pierced to her very soul? You know when that was. And you know that even though it was three decades into the future that Mary was already realizing that her life and the life of her son was going to be filled with both wonder and difficulty. Simeon made that clear. Mary knew that there were hard times ahead. And yet, we're going to read in just a little bit about how she responded to what God was asking her to be and to do. Finally, Simeon says, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. That's what the message is that we have to share. The hearts of those around us and those whom we communicate, even if from a distance, are going to be revealed. The thoughts of people will be revealed through the power of God and through His Son, Jesus Christ. And the congregation said, amen. And we must not be afraid of that title that He carries. We mustn't be afraid, even in our society where the name of Jesus is now being viewed in negative ways. We must not be afraid to speak. And the congregation said, amen. Well, these weren't the only ones. Anna was there, the priestess says, and she too recognized the power of Jesus. But it's Zechariah I want to turn to next. The father of John, the other baby that was born approximately 3 months apart. We're told that when Mary came to see Elizabeth, Elizabeth was already about 6 months into her pregnancy. And so maybe there was about a 3 month difference between John and Jesus. But Zechariah, having been made mute during the pregnancy, finally gets to speak. And here's what he says in the presence of his son. Zechariah says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets of old." And believe me, Zechariah as a priest would have known these words, these holy prophets of old, that we should be saved from our enemies, even including illnesses that come into our world, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. God's made covenant with us as well. In times of old, that was through the man Moses. Now he makes covenant in the name of Jesus, born in Bethlehem, living in Jerusalem. That's the one whose name is now tied to the covenant. And that's why when you look at the front of this building here, we identify to whom we belong. This is not the church of Moses. This is not the church of Elijah. This is the church of Jesus Christ. He is the one to whom we belong. And he is the one that Zechariah, looking at his own son, a prophet, to make straight the paths of that Savior, is now speaking about. He says, "The oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days." And looking down, Dad now says, "And you, child, you will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sun shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." How appropriate that these words from Zechariah would be shared when we're not that far removed from the winter solstice. Do you know what that is? The winter solstice. It's the day of the year, always comes at the end of December. It's the day of the year that has the least amount of daylight in that 24-hour period. And we experienced that just a few days before Christmas. Zechariah says, it doesn't matter what it looks like up in the sky. What matters is what is in our hearts and in our minds and in our souls. Because God shall visit us from on high to give light, even on this overcast day, to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. It has become a reality for me that every day that I look at my phone and I look at the news that is listed there, I am always reminded of how many more people died yesterday. And there's a running count because of this virus as to how many people have been impacted, and we're now into the hundreds of thousands. We do live, because of our focus, we live in the shadow of death. And yet Zechariah said, God has provided a way and a day and a time, and it is yet now when his light will shine if we let it. Well, we haven't even gotten to Mary yet. My goodness. We're here this morning to talk about Mary and her words. It wasn't just the men who were heard from. Anna was there, and she pronounced the good things God was doing through this baby. And finally, with Mary, we get to hear her words. But first, I want to tell you what her words are based on. And I'm going to read this next section without comment, because it's 22 verses, but they're all from Psalm 103, a hymn of praise just like Mary herself gave. You ready? "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases." And the congregation says, Amen to that. Who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Oh, the biblical writers love to show the power of that mighty bird flying in the air. And he says that's the way it will be for us spiritually. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor does he repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. And the congregation says, amen. From everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. And his righteousness to children's children. To those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you, his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. And you can say it with me. This is the last part of Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Mary and Joseph were both devout Jewish individuals. They would have known this Psalm of David. Zechariah referred to David, and Mary would have understood that what was happening in her life was because of David, and all the way back from David, all the way back to Abraham. And so here's what Mary says. You didn't think we'd get here, did you? My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. And indeed, she is. And so are us when we do what God calls us to do. For he, God, who is mighty, has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm, actually with every part of his being. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. Let me say the last word one more time. Forever. It's the only thing that's going to last. Your mask will know. There's going to come a point when you don't need them anymore. Your life will come to an end. Your generations will come to an end. But God lasts forever. And the congregation says, amen. We serve a God who does not cease. We serve a God who continues to love. We serve a God who goes to a small town in the people he had picked. And he goes to a humble young girl. By the way, our best guess is Mary was in her mid to late teens when all of this happened. And I want to take a moment just to say to our teenagers who are here or perhaps listening by live stream, I pray that you have the heart of courage and devotion and conviction and focus that Mary demonstrates on this day to serve her Lord and Savior forever. I'm almost done. Oh, I wanted to share with you my favorite Christmas song. Oh, what did I do with it? Oh, it's a brand new hymn that's now being used. The hymn is entitled, Mary, Did You Know? Have you heard that one on the radio? Mary, did you know all these things about your son? Did you know that he was going to be the Savior of the world? The song asks repeatedly, did you know he was going to heal the blind man? Did you know that he was going to save your own soul? This baby you delivered will soon deliver you. And based on this lesson, there's only one word that I can use to answer that. Mary, did you know? And the answer is yes. Mary knew. Now, did she know all the details? Did she know all of the nuances? I'm not sure that she did, but she knew that God had great plans for this baby and that she was blessed to be a part of God's plan, the same way that you and I are blessed as well. So here we have the life. My time's up. From not beginning to end, but based on part one, part two, and then part one, the life from ending to beginning, he is the Christ. He is the Savior. He's the one that gives us direction. He's the one who leads us in our way. He's the one who would say, you be safe for today for your body's sake, but you be bold for me for your spirit's sake. And so this morning we say boldly, we proclaim that from end to beginning, he is the Son of God, he's the Savior of the world, and he is seeking you this morning. He wants you from end to beginning. I have to be careful saying that because it sounds so weird. But I'll tell you this, the people of New Testament times, they announced that Christians often did not fit in. Often Christians, in fact, in one town where Paul came, the people, the leaders of the town said, those people who are turning the world upside down, they've come here too. I want you in 2021 to turn your world upside down for God. And that's why we sing a song at the end of each of our assemblies, so that you can express to God, and if need be to us, your devotion. This morning we will pray for you for renewed strength and for renewed commitment and for renewed connection with God and with one another if that is what you need. We sing this song for you if you've never known God and you want to be connected for the first time. Whatever the need, we sing for you as we stand and sing together.